right back at you. I'm happy the NBA playoffs are here. We've got a lot of basketball every day to keep track of.
I mean, four games a day. All of a sudden, it's at 1 o'clock and there's games. They're playoff games.
It's unbelievable. I know. Can't keep up with it all.
It's like an NBA festival. Let's start with the Sixers game last night. I felt going in that the Celtics, matchup-wise, Jaylen Brown advantage, Tatum an advantage, Gordon Hayward now out was an advantage, and the Sixers had one advantage, and that was Joel Embiid. I said I didn't like the odds. With Hayward out, in your opinion, how much does that change the dynamic of the series?
I mean, I definitely think it changes the dynamic for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, you know, Boston is so reliant on their starting five, which is incredible. But, you know, without Hayward, obviously you're moving somebody off the bench into the starting five, and that's probably going to be Marcus Smart. Now you don't have him to rely on coming off the bench, and now Brad Stevens is going to have to make a choice with some of his guys, whether or not you're going to have a guy like Wanamaker playing more minutes, Ojale playing more minutes. So that's certainly something that's, you know, an advantage to the Sixers. Now on the Sixers side of things, now you've got to think, are you going to consider changing up your starting lineup, right? Because if you're going to have Marcus Smart now being inserted into the Boston starting lineup, are you going to now try to match that, you know, and be smaller? Put Al Horford on the bench, maybe. Put Matisse Thybulle in the starting unit. And I think that's something that the Sixers staff is certainly considering. You know, we just talked to Brett Brown about an hour ago, and he said right now that all options are on the table. So with that, we might even see another starting lineup change.
I want to get to Joel Embiid. I thought he not only, for the most part, played well, but I thought he played hard last night, getting his hand into passing lanes and so forth. How much more can he give Brett Brown right now?
Yeah, you know, it is kind of a double-edged sword, because I agree with you, especially to start out that game, it really felt like Joe was just owning the space. But, you know, as that game wore on, and especially in that fourth quarter when you need him to attack the most, they struggled getting the ball to him. And that's where you remember that, you know, the Sixers don't have Ben, right? And they don't have that legitimate point guard to help create a little bit better for the offense. And the offense, to me, looked a bit disorganized. There were times where the turnovers were outrageous, and a lot of the turnovers did happen either in bad post feeds, you know, Joel passing out of the post. So while I agree with you to start the game, I do think that there needed to be a greater sense of discipline down the stretch, and that wasn't just on Joel, but just the offense itself seemed pretty disorganized to me.
Which then brings me to Shake Milton. Where does Shake Milton need to be better? And were there moments in the 8-game restart where he was playing better?
You know, this is a tough task for Shake Milton. I mean, you gotta also recognize that he hasn't had a ton of NBA experience. I actually thought that he played a pretty decent game last night. I thought that he struggled to start in that first quarter to open that game. But, you know, I thought he was okay. I think, though, and we saw this with how the game wound up, is you have Alec Burks, who has a lot more experience, can really create for himself, and we saw him get a lion's share of the minutes that maybe, you know, you would think that the starting point guard would be in there down the stretch, and for the most part, he wasn't. I think Shake just has to do a better job offensively, recognizing that you can't always post Joe. I mean, it's
right.
You always want to post Joe, right? Because that is obviously what the Sixers' strength is, but you also can't force it. And so because of that, you've got to move the ball and make it easier for the end game to be able to post Joe, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it makes complete sense. I mean, I know Embiid can pop out and hit a three. I've got that. And he likes shooting them. But in the post, they have a huge advantage there. One of the element, though, of Marcus Smart starting is that it means it does start the game with the Celtics having a better defensive team. Not offensive, but a better defensive team.
Sure.
On the floor. When you look at what Brett Brown is looking at with the Celtics having to make that change, you know, I think you alluded to this a bit, Serena, but how does he want to counter the better defensive team out there?
Well, I think that one of the things we saw in last night's game is that Matisse Thybulle, first of all, on Jason Tatum. He did the best job on Jason Tatum all night long. And I think that we saw that Josh Richardson matched up best with Kemba. You know, and he's guarded Kemba for many years now. Those two have met in the playoffs before. And the problem with the starting lineup, you know, is that at least last night you had Matisse coming off the bench, right? So Jay Rich was starting on Jay Rich, you know, they had to switch, right? They had to switch, obviously, when Matisse came in, and you know, we all saw that. But in terms of now that it's a better defensive team with Marcus Smart, yes, but they're also maybe you could say they're not as good in transition just because Gordon Hayward is so versatile. But I see what you're saying with Marcus, and I think that that's one of the tough things, right? Because say you insert Thybulle into the starting unit and you have Al Horford on the bench, does that mean that Shake Milton and Marcus are going to be going at it? And that's going to be a tough cover, right? Marcus Smart is just – he's a bulldog defensively, and he's a guy that you would worry about being able to come after Shake, and that's where that would kind of – he has to be calm there. But I think they're probably all going through exactly what we're talking about right now.
It was interesting. A lot has been made of the Kristaps Porzingis ejection, which I watched later because he got ejected, so I figured I better look it up because I wasn't watching the game. And he got tossed out. I said, for that? Which then brings me to the Al Horford play on Jaylen Brown. I'm sorry. That's not 2+ the ball, at least to this old individual. sometimes I don't get it. It's like I felt like he grabbed it with the second hand to keep him from falling.
I know. I mean, let these guys play, right? This is the NBA playoffs. I mean, come on. I'm with you. I'm 100% with you.
I mean, I watched that play. It was a key play because the Celtics were expanding their lead at the free throw line. They weren't expanding it from the field. And that's what I looked at it with this. In the bubble, we talk about during the regular season, load management's discussed a lot. But all these guys can do is go back to the hotel, eat, whatever, and then go and play games. Now, in the playoffs, there is no load management, obviously. But when the players have had a chance to Zoom with you, Serena, I know this isn't the easiest thing to do, but have they been, quote, more better rested because they're not going out in the town?
You know, I don't know that I could say that. I haven't noticed any difference in terms of when we talk to them. I really haven't. So, I mean, I understand your point because we always hear those stories, right? And depending on which city and, oh, is it in Miami? You know, the guys are out, you know, that night, whatever the case may be. But, you know, I can't say that I've noticed anything in terms of them being more rested.
Interesting. That is interesting. For the Sixers to get this thing rolling in the series, right, and it's only one game, what do you think they need to do?
Well, number one, I've just almost finished watching last night's game for the second time, and the turnovers were just infuriating. I mean, they were infuriating, I thought, watching them live, but on replay, when I watched them again, I mean, I'm sitting here staring at my screen as I'm rewatching it on League Pass because there were so many either just telegraph passes, you knew exactly where it was going, so or they were trying to feed it into Joe when, you know, that wasn't the right move. I think that it was just infuriating watching all the turnovers. And then you look at the stat sheet and you go, oh, my God, 21 points is what you gave Boston off your turnovers. And the offensive rebounding, I thought, for Boston, I mean, the Sixers have to do a better job at rebounding the ball. They just can't give Boston that many opportunities. And to be honest, Boston could have capitalized a lot more than they did on their offensive rebounds. I want to say they had like 15 or 16 offensive rebounds. I don't know, maybe 9 points, something like that. They could have capitalized a lot more. But I think those two things are what really stood out to me. But I think they've also got to figure out, look, Al Horford was guarding Jaylen Brown, and that was clearly a weakness. You know, Brown scored 12 points, was 4 points when guarded by Al Horford. So, you know, matchup-wise, this is tough. Now, it's a little bit better for the Sixers now without Gordon Hayward, like we've talked about, but it's still tough figuring out what to do with the Celtics team that is so talented offensively.
When you look at, for example, Tatum, you know, obviously you're looking at this from the Sixers' point of view, but when you look at the talent he brings to the table, what do you think?
I got to tell you, watching the game last night, I just sat back and thought to myself, he makes it look so easy. He makes it look so effortless. And that, to me, is a mark of the great players. When you're watching what they're doing and you know how difficult it is, but it just looks so easy. And there were so many times last night where you just kind of sit back and watch and go, man, he was already good, but he has gotten so much better. And you know what? To Matisse Thybulle's credit, for a rookie, I thought, man, he did a great job, you know, covering Tatum, some of his digs, you know, some of his blocks. I mean, he came out and really did well and stayed out of foul trouble, so I was impressed with that. But he's really good, man. He is really good, and I really enjoy watching him.
And by the way, just very quickly on Thybulle. Thybulle, you know, understands how to play both ends of the floor. You know, you see the University of Washington was their good player. No getting around it. You do great work. And we appreciate the work you do very much and your analysis as well. Thank you so much for coming on and giving us your perspective, which was invaluable.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.